Chapter 9. Harry Seldon sat at Hugo Amorrell's bedside, patiently, sadly. Hugo was utterly spent. He was beyond medical help, even if he would have consented to avail himself of such help, which he refused. He was only 55. Seldon was himself 66, and yet he was in fine shape, except for the twinge of sciatica, or whatever it was, that occasionally lamed him. Amorrell's eyes opened.
"You're still here, Harry?"
Seldon nodded.
"I won't leave you. Till I die."
"Yes." Then, in an outburst of grief, he said, "Why have you done this, Hugo? If you had lived sensibly, you could have had 20 or 30 years more of life." Amorrell smiled faintly.
"Lived sensibly? You mean take time off, go to resorts, amuse myself with trifles?"
"Yes, yes!
And I would either have longed to return to my work, or I would have learned to like wasting my time, and in the additional 20 to 30 years you speak of, I would have accomplished no more. Look at you."
"What about me?"
"For 10 years you were First Minister under Cleon. How much science did you do then?"
"I spent about a quarter of my time on psychohistory," said Seldon gently.
"You exaggerate. If it hadn't been for me plugging away, psychohistorical advance would have screeched to a halt."
Seldon nodded.
"You were right, Hugo. For that I am grateful. And before and since, when you spend at least half your time on administrative duties, who just did the real work, huh?"
"You, Hugo."
"Absolutely."
His eyes closed again. Seldon said, "Yet you always wanted to take over those administrative duties if you survived me."
"No, no, no. I wanted to head the project to keep it moving in the direction it had to move. But I would have delegated all administration."
Amorrell's breathing was growing stertorous. But then he stirred and his eyes opened, staring directly at Harry. He said,
"What will happen to psychohistory when I am gone? Have you thought of that?"
"Yes, I have. And I want to speak to you about it.
It may please you, Hugo. I believe that psychohistory is being revolutionized."
Amorrell frowned slightly.
"In what way?" "I don't like the sound of that."
"Listen, it was your idea. Years ago, you told me that two foundations should be established, separate, isolated and safe, and arranged so that they would serve as nuclei for an eventual second galactic empire. Do you remember? That was your idea."
"The psychohistoric equations."
"I know. They suggested it. I'm busy working on it now, Hugo. I've managed to wangle an office in the Galactic Library."
"The Galactic Library?"
Amorrell's frown deepened.
"Oh, I don't like them. A bunch of self-satisfied idiots."
"No, the chief librarian, Laz Zenau, is not so bad, Hugo."
"Did you ever meet a librarian named Mummery? Gennaro Mummery?"
"No, but I've heard of him."
"And he's a miserable human being. We had an argument once, when he claimed I had misplaced something or other. I'd done no such thing, and I grew very annoyed, Harry. All of a sudden, I was back in Dahl. One thing about the Dahlite culture, Harry, it is a cesspool of invective. I used some of it on him, and I told him he was interfering with psychohistory, and he would go down in history as a villain. I didn't just say villain, either." Amorrell chuckled faintly.
I left him speechless. Suddenly, Seldon could see where Mummery's animosity toward outsiders and, most probably, psychohistory must come from, at least in part. But he said nothing.
"The point is, Hugo, you wanted two foundations so that if one failed, the other would continue. But we've gone beyond that."
"In what way?"
"Do you remember that Wanda was able to read your mind 2 years ago and see that something was wrong with a portion of the equations in the Prime Radiant?"
"Yes, of course."
"Well, we will find others like Wanda. We will have one foundation that will consist largely of physical scientists, who will preserve the knowledge of humanity and serve as the nucleus for the Second Empire. And there will be a second foundation of psychohistorians only, mentalists, mind-touching psychohistorians, who will be able to work on psychohistory in a multi-minded way, advancing it far more quickly than individual thinkers ever could. They will serve as a group who will introduce fine adjustments as time goes on, you see. Ever in the background watching. They will be the Empire's guardians." Wonderful, said Amaryl weakly. Wonderful. You see how I've chosen the right time to die? There is nothing left for me to do.
Don't say that, Hugo.
Don't make such a fuss over it, Harry. I'm too tired to do anything. Thank you. Thank you for telling me.
His voice was weakening.
Telling me about the revolution. It makes me happy. Happy. Happy.
And those were Hugo Amaryl's last words. Selden bent over the bed. Tears stung his face and rolled down his cheeks. Another old friend gone. Demoiselle, Cleon, Dawes. Now Hugo. Leaving him emptier and lonelier as he grew old. And the revolution that had allowed Amaryl to die happy might never come to pass. Could he manage to make use of the Galactic Library? Could he find more people like Wanda? Most of all, how long would it take? Selden was 66. If only he could have started this revolution at 32 when he first came to Trantor. Now it might be too late.